Hello, this is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. If you want to listen to us online, go to kptz.org. Remember, .org, not .com. You can listen to today's show, but you can also listen to podcasts of earlier shows. Double your pleasure, listen to more than one. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who is the guy on the recumbent bike who zooms through intersections without even pausing for stop signs? Who is that bubbly waitress at the lunch counter at Don's Pharmacy? And who are the parents and grandparents dropping off kids for marine biology down at the fort? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens, lawyers and ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the soaring eagles. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today's guest is Dr. Liza Mathias, who works with Dr. Steve Sharp at Uptown Dental on Lawrence Street. Welcome to the show, Liza.
Hi, thank you.
So tell me, are you a Port Townsend native, one of those rare birds?
I am, born and raised Port Townsend. I was born in 1981 and grew up here and went away for school and then came back.
So how did your parents, were they native born here too, or did they find the place?
No, my parents were not. They traveled from the South, from South Carolina. They sold all their belongings in the 70s, I guess, and traveled across the country, ended up in Port Townsend, and they fell in love with it.
So they were looking for the perfect place.
They were, and Port Townsend was it. Huh? And they thought it was going to be a three-year thing, and they ended up staying forever.
Were they the typical hippies of the era?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. My mom is an artist. Right. My father was a physician.
Well, so, most hippies aren't physicians.
No. you know, they definitely embraced the culture of the West Coast and loved it out here, loved nature, sort of the peacefulness of being out here on the water and with the mountains. And so I don't know that I would necessarily call them hippies, but...
No, I guess not. I wouldn't say so. So you went to high school, Port Townsend High School?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay. And what were some of the activities you were in high school?
Well, let's see. In high school, I was kind of the art and music and science nerd, I guess. Uh-huh. I played the string bass in orchestra and jazz band. Did a lot of art, not necessarily in school, but I had a mentor outside of school who I wore clay sculpture with.
Well, were you one of these kids who always knew exactly what they wanted to be when they grew up?
No, definitely not. I thought I wanted to be a physician for a long time, just like my dad.
Right.
And so I went into college thinking I would go towards that path. But mm-hmm. as I got further and further along, I realized I really wanted to do a lot more with my hands. And it took me some time. I didn't go straight from undergrad into dental school. I tried out different fields.
What were a couple of the things you tried?
I did research for a while. I did some health research with Veterans Administration and cardiac projects. I considered being a physical therapist for a while. Still was considering being a physician. But I was taking a prerequisite for what I thought at the time was physical therapy, but it also happened to be a prerequisite for dentistry. And I met a friend from college in that class, and she suggested I look into dentistry. And from there, I started exploring it, and it really hit the marks of wanting to care for people and the health aspects, as well as working with my hands.
Okay.
And artistic aspects.
I must confess, I'm one of these people that is scared of dentists.
Yes.
And so I just wonder, you know, the decision. There are lots of people who are scared of dentists. There
yes.
are lots of people who aren't. There are even some people who apparently fall asleep in a dentist chair.
Oh, yes, there are.
I'm shocked by this, but I've been told this happens. Mm-hmm. So what sort of tipped the balance? What made you say, yes, dentistry is for me?
I started volunteering with a community health clinic over in Seattle, and then I also started shadowing some dentists that were family friends. I really appreciated the care aspect and helping people either get out of pain or achieve whatever goals of oral health that they wanted, and just being able to share my knowledge was really important to me. I wanted to help, in my small way, help make dentistry a little bit more approachable for some people.
Where did you go to dental school?
I went to University of Washington.
And you were telling me the other day you also took it a step beyond.
I did, yes. I did a residency in Boise, Idaho, with Idaho State University. I did a general practice residency.
And what did that expose you to?
That was basically sort of an intensive program where I got to practice in a private practice setting under the tutelage of specialists. So I worked with periodontists, oral surgeons, pedodontists, prosthodontists, endodontists, learning new technologies and the current things that specialists are doing for treatment. So it was really an advanced training program.
That sounds great because you got exposed to a whole bunch of different things.
I did, yes.
And so how did you end up back here in Port Townsend?
I ended up back here because my doctor from growing up, Dr. Scharf, he approached me when I was in residency, and we had kept in contact through dental school, and then I went to residency, and he approached me about halfway through when I was starting to think about what I was going to do afterwards.
Right.
And we started talking about the possibility of me coming to join him in practice. You know, after discussion and figuring out some of the details, it just sounded like a really great opportunity.
Were your parents still here?
Yes, my mom is still here. Yes.
So that's an attraction, too.
It is, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. You're currently practicing what I guess I would call general dentistry.
I am, yes.
And you studied, though, under a few specialists. Are you tempted to take up a specialty?
I've considered taking up a specialty, but honestly, I haven't been able to decide on one that I like more than the others. So I like being a general dentist because I get to appreciate aspects of all the specialties, essentially, and it keeps my practice varied and makes it exciting.
Yeah.
So I get to practice. I'm not doing the same thing all day, every day.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So how long have you been with Dr. Scharf now?
We are coming up on 2 years in September.
Good. Well, you must have seen a real cross-section of the local population here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, here's maybe a weird question. Was there ever a patient where he or she opened their mouth and you went, oh my God? I mean, not out loud, but did you ever face something that you thought, how am I going to cope with this?
I have seen patients, you know, everywhere I've worked and practiced, that there's significant problems. Usually the biggest issue is not necessarily trying to figure out what you can do with it, because there's usually ample solutions. It's whether patients are willing to consider those solutions or whether they want to accept that there is a lot going on.
Can you use an example?
When I was in residency, I saw patients whose mouths had been devastated by drug use, and they would come to me wanting to have, you know, all of their teeth restored. And in order to do that, it would require, I mean, some of them were impossible to restore. There just wasn't enough tooth left. And in other cases, it was the restoration options were very involved, and patients didn't want to accept that was really what had to be done.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you just can't get away with doing a filling. You have to do more than that for treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I did a show last year on drug court. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but anyway, I had a couple of guests who were former meth addicts, and one of them was telling me that she basically lost all her teeth.
Yeah.
She did end up with dentures because I guess, without knowing the details, it must have been pretty bad.
Yes, meth is definitely, it really devastates the oral environment from so many aspects. It's one of the hardest things that I've seen in dentistry when you see a young person in their 20s and you have to give them dentures because their teeth are just completely non-restorable.
Yeah, that must be really hard.
It's very, very hard.
When they come in, are they really aware of how extensive it is, or is that a shock?
Generally not. Generally, they know that there are some issues,
right?
But they don't realize how much of an issue it is. Huh. And oftentimes, that's a very hard conversation to have.
Yeah, I think it would be. It would be incredibly difficult to do that.
Very difficult, and people are often in denial about it.
Now, I read a story somewhere that said that gum disease is actually sometimes a clue of much more serious things going on in the body. Is that true, or is that just a...
Gum disease can be related to other diseases in the body because basically it's a chronic inflammation. Right. So when anytime you have chronic inflammation in your body, it weakens your immune system and it can lead to inflammation in other areas. So gum disease is one of those tricky things that people don't often realize they have because you don't always feel it. So it kind of lurks silently.
How would you know you have it, aside from going to the dentist, which is obviously one way?
Generally, people do discover it when they go to the dentist, and we do what people tend to call the pokey thing, where we probe and we give out numbers.
The stabber.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually does serve a purpose. It helps us to determine if the gums are in a state of health or in a state of disease.
Yes, I've heard them read out these mysterious numbers.
Yes.
A code.
Pretty much it is. It's a code for us.
Yeah.
Usually that's when people find out that they have some sort of gum disease. But at home, if people have a lot of bleeding when they brush their teeth, or they notice a particularly bad breath, or their gums are receding more than they think they should, sometimes that can be an indication.
You know, that's how I noticed a former cat of mine had bad. He was lying on my pillow and breathed on me, and I thought, oh my God, his breath is terrible. Yeah. I took him to the vet, and they said he has some dental issues.
Yes.
So I guess it's the same for people.
It is. And it could be, you know, indications of various dental problems.
So how often should people go to the dentist for checkups? I mean, obviously, if you're aching like crazy, you go. But I'm just saying in general.
In general, the average recommended amount for a person with healthy gums is every 6 months, at least for a cleaning. Some people can get away with a little bit less than that, with maybe once a year. Most people are every 6 months. Not that they have to see the doctor every 6 months, but at least every year.
And so they every 6 months see the hygienist, I guess, is what you're suggesting.
Yes. Oftentimes we do like to do an exam every 6 months, but sometimes patients don't want that. So
yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk for a minute about children, because when we were talking the other day, you really surprised me with your answer to this. When should a young child have his or her first dental experience?
It's recommended that children come in either whichever is first, the first tooth or the first year or first birthday. And not that we do very much during that exam, but it's really basically a check on development, making sure that the child is developing appropriately, making sure there's not any oral pathology happening, and then also to help get the child used to coming in. We call it a happy visit because we want to help sort of introduce the tools that are really strange.
But at 1 year old, how much do they retain at that point?
Oh, they don't retain much, but they get used to having, you know, someone look in their mouth, having someone's fingers in their mouth, laying back in the chair. And we actually have them lay back on their parents' lap.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. We call it a knee-to-knee exam. So they're holding on to mom or dad and then lay back with their head in their lap. And we can take a look and just peek around and make sure everything looks okay, and then help give mom and dad some guidance on what to expect.
Are most kids okay with this?
A lot of kids cry, actually, during that, just because you're a stranger.
And poking in their mouth.
Poking in their mouth. But a lot of kids actually do really well. Usually it's short-lived, and it's more just I don't know what's happening. And then once you're done, you're done, and they're fine.
Well, you know, back in the olden days, dentists used to give kids lollipops. I'm sure that doesn't exist anymore.
No, we don't usually do that. Some will give sugar-free lollipops, but we don't do that in our office, but I know some offices do. But sugared lollipops, no.
No, that's not recommended, eh?
Not recommended.
Okay. And so the baby comes in for his or her, let's say, first birthday, and then is it the same, like every 6 months or every year? Assuming there are no problems that the parent really notices.
Right. I would still say every 6 months to a year in there. Again, it's not a whole lot of actual work that we're doing. We're not doing our official teeth cleaning. It's more of a basic exam, and we like to apply fluoride varnish to the teeth. That's important to get started right away.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about fluoride for a second. It's my understanding that Port Townsend does not have fluoride in its water.
We do not have fluoridated water.
Has that always been true?
As far as I know, yeah.
And as a dentist, what's your stance on fluoride?
The literature will tell you that it's one of the greatest public health feats that we've kind of had in the past 50 to 100 years. There's a lot of controversy over it because fluoride in large doses is, like anything, it is a toxin. So a lot of people are opposed to it because it is in large doses a toxin. However, in the therapeutic doses that we're talking about, when we talk about teeth and applications in dentistry, it's such a small amount that there haven't been any documented cases of any harm to the body. And there's a lot of things in our environment that we take, vitamins, for one thing. Some vitamins are toxic in high doses.
Yeah, I've heard that too. If you take one vitamin C, for sake of argument, it's one thing. But if you take 40, it's another.
Right. And I mean, things like vitamin C are actually water soluble, but like vitamin A, and I think that's one of them that is fat soluble, take too much of that and it's very toxic to your body. Wow. It's the same, similar with fluoride, where too much is toxic, but small therapeutic amounts are actually very beneficial in strengthening the enamel of the teeth, especially as the teeth are developing. So it's very important for kids.
Well, that's interesting to know. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today is Dr. Liza Mathias, a young dentist with Uptown Dental. Dr. Liza, can you tell me, what are some of the trends in dental work these days? What do you see on the upswing?
Things that I've seen on the upswing are CAD/CAM dentistry. So that'd be like same-day crowns, and they're usually made with porcelain.
Do you do that?
I do that, yes. That's cool. Relatively new to our office.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone in Port Townsend did that.
There are a few of us. Huh? There's another dentist that practices in my office that also does it. With the improvements in ceramics that we've seen over the past 10, 15 years, and the improvements in software and milling technology, it's really an amazing technology to be able to offer.
Well, the technology is wonderful, but I understand the machines are pretty expensive.
They are, very.
Roughly how much?
They're roughly $150,000.
Yeah, right. Pocket change.
Pocket change.
Okay. All right. What about implants? I hear more people talking about implants.
Implants are such an amazing option these days. The technology has increased, and we're now having all of the track record. 20 years ago, they were new, and now we have proven track record with the implants, and the technology is just getting better and better. And it's a great restoration in terms of longevity, success, and also the most similar replication of your natural tooth.
But it's fairly expensive to do, right?
It is, yes. Even the components for us to purchase from the companies that make the implant parts are very, very expensive.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a mindset. I mean, I have the impression that people in my parents' generation, when they achieved a certain seniority, they more or less expected to get dentures. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people feel that way today.
I think there is a movement to try and keep teeth as long as possible. Our technology is such now that we have better technology in order to try and keep them. And then also people are realizing that there is a link between having teeth and quality of life as well as health. There's often a drastic decline in health once people start losing a lot of their teeth or all of their teeth.
Yeah, I can see that.
Dentures are a great replacement for no teeth, but having teeth is better than having dentures.
I would certainly think so.
So we encourage trying to keep teeth.
Yeah. Okay, what about, I've read some discussions of crowns, of gold versus porcelain. Do you still use gold? What is the...
I do still use gold.
The rationale?
I think it's a great restoration. It's kind of the tried and true. It's been around the longest. Gold has many properties that make it very compatible with the oral environment and with your opposing teeth. So it, it traps less plaque. The margins can be extremely, extremely smooth due to the sort of ductility of the material. It also wears against your natural teeth, much more compatible with your enamel. So it actually won't wear the enamel, as opposed to some porcelains can wear away enamel on natural teeth. It also is very conservative in the preparation, so it requires less bulk of material to have adequate strength.
Okay. And I would assume if, for a front tooth, you probably wouldn't suggest a gold.
I would not necessarily suggest it, although I have had people request it. And
really?
I will comply.
Well, yeah, I've seen pictures of certain, let's say, rock musicians with not just gold, but diamonds or things
in
their teeth.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever do that?
No. I can't say I've done that.
All right. Well, I know that you were educated in Seattle and you have a lot of friends there and spend time there. What do you do when you're on that side?
I think I just do sort of, I do some of the city things. I go try out new restaurants, check out different neighborhoods, see my friends. The restaurant scene is kind of one of my favorites. I like to try out various
Tell me about one of your favorite dishes at a favorite restaurant.
One of my favorites right now would be a place called Din Tai Fung, which is a Chinese dumpling house, which is, it's from I believe Hong Kong, and they make these little dumplings and they're all handmade there, and they're called, they make something called soup dumplings, which actually have broth inside the dumpling.
Ooh.
It's like soup in a bite.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
It's amazing. And I also really like their spicy wontons.
Wow. So you clearly like Chinese food. Any other types of food that you're really into?
I really just like variety. I like trying different exciting foods. I like things with exciting spices that I wouldn't normally cook with. And
do you cook a lot?
I do like to cook, yes.
Oh, good. What's one of your favorite things that you like to cook yourself?
Again, I like experimenting.
That's good.
I don't tend to cook the same thing very often. I like to cook things with a lot of vegetables, just try and make up creative things. Like one of my favorite things is lasagna with a whole bunch of vegetables, or grilled pizzas, things like that. I like to make my own dough and own sauce and
that
everything from
good.
Scratch.
Wow. Takes a fair amount of time to do that.
It does, but I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
Well, you obviously enjoy being a dentist.
I mean, do.
What do you like best about it?
I really enjoy working with my hands and being able to connect with my patients and feel like I'm benefiting, or feel like they're benefiting from our connection and making an impact in their life, basically. Mm-hmm. Working with my hands is very important. The artistic aspect and feeling like I'm proud of my work is very, very important to me.
Well, so. You know, to be honest, before we started talking, I never really thought about dentistry as being artistic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of it as many things, helping people and helping people have better quality of life and all of this, but the artistic end of it, I had never really considered.
Yeah, it's something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize. And to be honest, a lot of the work that I do, especially in the back of the mouth, I will fuss and fuss to make it look pretty and artistic. And most people don't really realize.
Because
nobody sees it and they don't know that it looks, that I have made my dental anatomy an exact replica of what their tooth should look like. Nobody's going to know the difference, but I know. Mm. And I appreciate that aspect of it.
So. Interesting. Do you and Dr. Scharf have the same sort of style of dentistry, or do you each focus differently?
We have shockingly similar philosophies in dentistry. It's actually kind of crazy because most dentists, you can talk to five different dentists and get five different treatment plans on the same person. Everyone has their own opinion, and often it's just finding a, you know, quote-unquote good dentist is often just finding someone that you feel like you resonate with.
Right.
When Dr. Scharf and I started practicing together, we both were a little bit surprised at how similarly we treatment planned and approached dentistry. He jokes that I am his clone.
That's amazing, but, really.
It is. It's very amazing.
And he's had his practice there for quite a while. Roughly when did he open?
He opened in the 80s, I believe.
The 80s.
Yeah. So he's been there for quite some time.
Established. Yeah, I know a lot of people who like him and his work and say wonderful things about him.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he was my dentist all growing up, so.
Yeah, but I think you must have been drinking fluoride water on the side, right? You happened to tell me that you didn't have any cavities till you were in college. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. I also think I was lucky because of my family history. Oral flora is often passed down from parents, and that can contribute to your susceptibility to having decay. So I think I got lucky on that account.
So are you saying that it's sort of like if your parents have really good teeth, the likelihood of you having really good teeth
is higher. Yes. Yeah. But if your parents have active decay or frequently get decay, that's often passed on to your children. It is a bit of a communicable disease in a sense. If you have a lot of bacteria in your mouth that is decay causing and you're sharing drinks, sharing food,
right,
kissing, that can be transmitted.
Wow. Never thought of that. So if you have a lot of a history of mm-hmm. decay and needing a lot of dental work, I guess mm-hmm. the advice is you better be more vigilant about your kids.
Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. And it just means that, you know, you'll probably have to be more diligent in taking care of the teeth and making sure things are kept clean and minimizing frequency of snacks, encouraging fluoride, encouraging xylitol, things like that, to help decrease that, to lower that bacteria count, to give your kids the best chance they have.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, we're just about out of time here.
Oh, my gosh.
It zips by. It really does. Thank you very much for being a guest on the show. You're listening to Our Town on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. This is Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today has been Dr. Liza Mathias, who is relatively new dentist in Uptown Dental with Dr. Steve Sharp. And she's obviously someone who really is into her work. I never thought of dentistry as art before, but she's getting me to see it that way. I'm not sure I've completely conquered my fear of dentists, but at least I can see it from a different vantage point. Meanwhile, listeners, thank you for listening and stay tuned to KPTZ FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Mary Ann McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.